Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the We Are Podcast on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. He is Corey Geiger. I am Jared Brewer. And Corey, you went all the way to Auburn, Alabama to see as dominant a performance for Penn State as there's been in quite some time.
Man, I can't believe it. Seriously. If there are Penn State fans out there who would say that they expected what we saw Saturday at Auburn, I'd say you're lying. You're just flat lying. You can always hope that your team beats the hell out of somebody, but I would just say that you're flat lying because, yeah, I think most people pick Penn State to win the game in a close game. What we saw, Jared, what happens in sports a lot of times with, you know, announcers is, oh, that was unbelievable. It was unbelievable, baby. It's not unbelievable. Hit a three-pointer. Shut up. Okay? But we throw around these terms like unbelievable, and they get you know, minimized. This is one of those unbelievable things. I have covered Penn State for 17 years now, Jared. I think this is the most surprising game outcome that I've ever covered. This is not Penn State's best win. Ohio State in 2016 was a tremendous win, brought the program back. But in terms of just surprising, this is just bonkers. This is just out there, you know, bordering on that unbelievable.
Well, and that's the thing, and it was great on both sides. You had defensive dominance. You had offensive dominance. And again, that's the second week in a row that you've really put together almost nearly a perfect game. Yeah, there were some missteps here and there, and I think the penalties were a little too high for Penn State's liking, but that's 3 weeks in a row that you've played your backups, and you've gotten Aller time. And that's not something that we had expected in quite some time. Now, obviously, at Purdue, it's a little different. And last week, you know, there's a massive blowout against Ohio. But this, you know, up front, the offensive line played well. Defensive line played well. And, man, you got to love Manny Diaz's defense right now. They are playing some superb bend-don't-break football at times, but also aggressive and get-to-the-quarterback football, too.
Hey, Jared, I mean, look, we have to start asking how good this Penn State team can be because everybody was going between 9-3 or 8-4 at the beginning of the season. I picked them to go 7-5. That looks like a stupid prediction now, but we all wondered what the offensive line would be. We all wondered what the running game would be. This looks like a team that has it all. And you're hesitant to say that after Ohio because I think Ohio is probably terrible. Is there any hesitancy to say it after this Auburn game? Because Auburn, I think, is in a big mess. We're recording this around midnight on Saturday after the game. I was talking to people down here. They're wondering if Brian Harsin is going to get fired overnight. Hell, by the time people listen to this Sunday morning, maybe Brian Harsin will be fired. I kind of doubt it, but there's a mess down at Auburn. But Penn State came down here and just destroyed, absolutely destroyed, a national power in front of 87,000 people. And if Auburn is down, fine. This is still Auburn, okay? And Penn State made this team look pathetic. And so we can criticize Auburn all we want, and maybe we can question that as well, but I think we have to look at this and say Penn State did everything well. In no way coming into this game did I think Penn State was going to have a chance to beat Ohio State down the road. So I'm going to say something crazy here that maybe fans, you know, if this comes back to bite me, fine, but I think Penn State could beat Ohio State now because if you have a running game and you have all the other elements that they have, that game is at Beaver Stadium. And so is this just crazy, you know, wishful thinking or what have you? Man, I saw enough at Auburn to think that if they can keep this up, this could be a really special season.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, you know, the premise of or the possibility of going 3-0 was always there. But to go 3-0 in the way that they've done it, you know, obviously Purdue's game one, right?
Yeah, they should have lost to Purdue.
Right.
Let's be honest. They should have lost to Purdue. But that's how far they've come the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, today you saw that – you saw both sides of the football play complementary football. And in a big-time way. I mean, up front, this is probably the most dominant of a performance on the front up front on both sides that we've seen in quite some time. And listen, we're going back to pre-sanctions when we're talking about the offensive line. That's how bad the offensive line has typically been at Penn State for a while. But they just came up and they punched them right in the mouth. They had people leaving Jordan-Hare Stadium in the third quarter. They're the first Big Ten team to play at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Now you can see why the SEC doesn't like to schedule the Big Ten team early in the Big Ten early in the season. You know, and Penn State came out and they executed to almost perfection. And that's the type of Penn State that should be seen year in and year out. And that's what's been lacking over the course of the last few years with them struggling. That's what you get when you have complementary football, when you have a passing game, when you have a running game. And man, Nick Singleton again is the real deal. Katron Allen has the potential to be the real deal. And Kevon Lee, even banged up, still the real deal. You've got good tight ends. And defensively, man, Abdul Carter, he's the next big number next big guy to wear the sticks. And he's playing pretty good football too. So, I mean, you're getting production on both sides of the football in a big way. And, man, it is fun to watch Penn State when they're this good.
Well, you know, you go back to 2019, the Cotton Bowl year, and Journey Brown really exploded the second half, and they had a balanced attack. And you just haven't had it the last 2 years, and Sean Clifford had to do everything. While being critical of Clifford, you always had to say the but if you give him a running game, okay? For all of the criticism Sean Clifford has taken, and anybody listening to this, I'll guarantee you have all criticized Sean Clifford big time the past couple of years. But if you give him a running game, now it's just a different situation. And, you know, I wasn't fully sold on Nicholas Singleton right as of yet after Ohio, because it was Ohio. But to see what he did here, and look, you mentioned Katron Allen. We have to mention these guys in tandem, and Kevon Lee will still play some. If you give Sean Clifford a running game, Sean Clifford is a good enough quarterback. If he doesn't have to overdo everything, he's good enough to make this Penn State offense really good. Now Mike Yurcich can do more of what he wants. It just is so unbelievably huge. If they have a running game, what they can do. The way I wrote it in my story was, uh-oh, if you're in the Big Ten and you look at Penn State now, you kind of have to say, uh-oh, they got a running game.
Yeah, Corey, they ran for 245 yards as a team today. They threw for 232 yards.
Yeah.
Teams don't go in and run for 245 yards at Auburn.
Yeah, they don't. I'll tell you.
So let's talk a little bit more about that here in the second segment. We're going to run right into this break, right around the edge, just like Nicholas Singleton does to the opponents when we come back on the We Are Podcast, the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the We Are Podcast, the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Corey, 245 rushing yards. Nick Singleton, 10 for 124. He's putting up high school numbers. He is a freshman, true freshman at that. Keetron Allen, 9 rushes, 52 yards, 2 TDs. Devin Ford got in the action, 7 for 37. Kevon Lee, the starter, 4 for 18. Sean Clifford, 6 of 15. Christian Vigor, 1 for 3. 245, Corey. Like we said right when we took this to the break, nobody, not many, if anybody, go into Jordan-Hare Stadium and put that type of performance on against Auburn, no matter what conference you're in.
Yeah, last year Clifford was 28 of 32 for 280 against Auburn. Auburn came into this game with a bad pass defense. It seemed to be pretty obvious that Penn State could take advantage of this team throwing the ball. But the way they ran the ball, it's just a game changer. And look, we could talk about the running backs as well. You did mention in the first segment, we got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line here. Wait a minute. Did I just say that? I just said, man, it's late here. It's like, it's 12 a.m. when I'm recording this. So I had a long day. Maybe I'm delirious or something. Did I just say we got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line about Penn State? Did I just say that, Jared? But really, honestly, this wasn't just Nicholas Singleton running around the right edge and outrunning a bunch of slow defenders. This was holes. This was running lanes. This was a pancake block that springs a big run. This was, you know, a consistent performance by the offense. Now, look, I do think some of what happened in the second half, I think Auburn quit a little bit, and that's a problem for that Auburn program. When once they got down, they're not equipped to come back with their offense. I do think the defenders quit a little bit, and that's going to be have to be addressed down there. But, boy, that was the offensive line for Penn State deserves a hell of a lot of credit here.
Yeah, absolutely. They were dominant. Both sides were dominant in the trenches. And it's just – that's what you need to see. That's what you really want to see from Penn State. They came out, punched them in the mouth. Defensively, man, they held them to 2 field goals in the red zone, which I thought was huge. And then they kept scoring touchdowns. And, you know, when Penn State was able to do that, good things happen. So it's just one of those things where, guess what, man? Penn State comes out, dominates. And yeah, Auburn just did not want it. When you get beat like that, why would you?
This was a good matchup too. Now, I'm going to pump the brakes here a little bit before we put Penn State in the college football playoff and beating Ohio State. Pumping the brakes. This was a good matchup, okay? You know, like maybe in Penn State basketball. Michigan State's really good. Penn State stinks. And all of a sudden, Penn State beats Michigan State in basketball. There's no rhyme or reason for it. But we've seen it over the years. Because Penn State might match up well with a particular team, you know, that can happen in sports. This was a good matchup for Penn State for this reason. Auburn can't throw the ball. They don't have much of a passing game with regards to getting guys in space, making key plays, especially in the red zone. Auburn did throw for almost 300 yards, but a lot of it was broken stuff and crazy stuff here and there.
TJ Finley throwing the perfect balls on third and forevers
but the earlier in the game. When it got in the first half, when Auburn got inside the 10-yard line twice, they don't have the kind of passing game that you have to fear down there. It was inept, really, for a red zone passing game. So what does Penn State do well? What does Penn State always do well in the history of forever? They play great defense in the red zone, okay? So not only does Penn State play great defense in the red zone, Auburn's got a terrible passing game offense. And so you know they're going to have to run the ball, and Penn State stuffed it. And so those two possessions in the first half were the game. Those were the game. Because once you're Penn State and you know they can't score on you inside the 10-yard line – and once you're Auburn and you know you can't score on Penn State inside the 10, I just think that mentally that changed everything for both teams.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and listen, I mean, you mentioned Auburn's passing, and I mentioned it in jest, but TJ Finley, you know, early in that game, he hit a lot of perfect passes. Like there was a nice little back shoulder throw on 3rd and 20 that he, like, I was watching it on TV and I was just astounded with, he just threw it perfectly. It was well defended. There was just one place and one place only where he could throw it and a receiver could catch it and not the defender. And it was just perfect. But that was, you know, so he goes out and makes those plays, but then, you know, you just have no idea what you're going to get. And then, you know, in the red zone, when you can't punch it in, like, we talked about Tank Bigsby being the big, like, being this factor, being this force for Auburn. They held him to 9 carries on 39 yards, or 439 yards, with his longest rush of 12 yards. They held the Auburn rushing attack for 119 yards.
That's the North. Penn State beat Auburn last year in the whiteout, 28-20. Auburn had 182 yards rushing in that game. That was a better run defense, we thought, with P.J. Musfer at the time. Mm-hmm. And this one might be. My biggest concern coming into this game was the defensive front 7. Could they stop the Auburn rushing attack? And they had 60 fewer yards rushing than last year.
Yeah. And they came out and they forced turnovers. You know, Finley put the ball on the ground twice. They lost one of those. But, you know, they lost 2 fumbles, had some interceptions. They had 1 interception.
2 interceptions, yep.
Yeah, 2 interceptions, right. And, but yeah, I mean, from start to finish, Penn State got off to a slow start, I would say. But again, you know, bend don't break, but that aggressiveness on Manny Diaz's defense, man, that is fun to watch. And that's not something we've really seen from Brent Pry, a Brent Pry defense during his tenure there. But they dial it up, man. And that secondary is tough.
11 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
And these guys had 11 tackles for loss. I'm going to write this as part of my follow-up on Sunday. So if you're listening to this on Sunday morning, and you check the story a little bit later on Sunday night, Manny Diaz is going to be gone soon. It's September 18th. I don't think Manny Diaz is going to be at Penn State in 3 months, because – if this kind of defense continues, he's going to be a head coach in 3 months. I really didn't think Manny Diaz would be at Penn State longer than 2 years anyway. But what we've seen from this defense I don't think Manny had this good of players when he was at Miami. We're all talking turnover chain, this, that, and the other. He didn't have these kinds of players, I don't think, on defense at Miami. And a lot of these guys are young too, Jared. So, if this keeps up, you just can't say enough about Manny Diaz, and he is going to get a head coach. Now, might he be waiting for the better head coaching opportunity? Yeah, he's going to get the best he can, but the guy was the head coach at Miami for 3 years. He's going to have opportunities late November, early December.
Yeah, I don't think he ever got a fair shot to have success at Miami. But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You mentioned the youth, right? The fountain of youth. They have a 75-year-old quarterback in Sean Clifford. Finally got his first career reception, first in 6 years. Dialed that up in the first quarter, or the first half, I should say. But what they're doing, and they're doing it with young guys, right? Like, they're doing it with a mixture of young guys and older guys. Like, on offense, you've got Singleton and Keetron Allen. On defense, man, Abdul Carter, 6 tackles. He's seemingly the real deal. A sack, tackle for loss, pass deflection. You know, those are the things that you need to see. You know, the King twins, I should say. So it's just one of those things, man, that they're getting it from their youth. And this is a deep Penn State team. This is a very, very deep Penn State team. And they're getting more experience by the game. They've played a lot of backups and third string players through 3 games. And those are games against Purdue, Auburn, and Ohio. And that's a very good problem to have.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's There's so much to like here. This is one of those very few games. It's hard to really nitpick much of anything. Yeah, there were penalties, but boy, you just I'm sitting here looking at the stats. It's 40. It says 41-12. It's just hard to believe that it went that way.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Penn State had a very good chance to start the season 3-0. I did not expect them to play this well today. I don't know necessarily what I expected, but I thought Auburn would be a little bit better competition. But again, that I think that speaks volumes of what Penn State's ready to do. And listen, James Franklin, I think has done a very good job thus far, in game day coaching. There's some plays here and there that you kind of question, but I think that's every game ever. But I think James Franklin through three games this year has done a very, very good job. They've gotten a lot of guys, a lot of playing time. And I'll tell you what, man, again, these young kids, they're good. They're real good.
A lot of depth. That's where the recruiting comes into play, Jared. And I'm sitting here again. You got Central Michigan coming up next. Then you got Northwestern back to the Big Ten. Then you go to Michigan. And I've kind of thought all along they could beat Michigan. Because Michigan, I don't think, is the kind of team that just going to throw the ball great. I'm not saying they will beat Michigan.
We have no idea what to expect from Michigan.
Yeah, we'll evaluate
nobody.
Yeah, we'll evaluate that down the road. I'm just saying that if Penn State runs the ball, you can feel good about everything else, every other aspect of the team. And we've seen enough strides so far to think that maybe this could continue. And if this continues, I say undefeated, because I hate to throw that out, because I would still pick Ohio State to beat them right now. But I do think they could go to Michigan and win, and 11-1 is possibly on the table.
Yeah, I think anything is possible right now. I mean, the way that they're playing, I think the biggest thing for Penn State now is coming out and not having a setback game against Central Michigan. Against a directional Michigan. We know how that can ruin seasons. Look at Kenny Pickett's season last year, right? That ultimately, I think, cost him the Heisman, and it definitely cost Pitt, you know, a chance at the college football playoff last year, losing to Western Michigan. So you got to come out here, and you got to continue to play your game. If you can continue to play your game and dominate both sides of the football, there'll be no problems. And I think the other thing, too, that we have to look at is Sean Clifford is staying upright and is healthy. And that's a good, good situation. But, you know, looking ahead, you know, you mentioned Michigan. Michigan's played their three games this year have been against teams in the bottom 10 of the country. Hawaii, UConn. And there is somebody else that I can't put my finger on at the moment. But you know, when you put all that together, Penn State has the makings of what could be a very, very special. They play Colorado State. I'm sorry.
Michigan looks like they've outscored their people like 170.
Yeah, and they gave up 7 points to Colorado State. Great. They just poor Timmy Chang. They stay 10 points. And then this week, another lopsided game against UConn. That it's been a while since UConn has been anything good at football, if ever. But yeah, I mean, it's still early. But you have to be feeling really good if you're Penn State, but you can't feel too good, right? Because they started out pretty hot last year. Don't think I was ever feeling this good about Penn State football last year.
Listen, that's a good point. I want to end this segment on that. I never felt this good about Penn State last year. Even at number four, I thought that ranking was a total fraud. There was no way Penn State was number four last year. They beat Wisconsin in a terrible game, and Wisconsin should have won that game, but they shot themselves in the foot in the red zone every time. And then they beat an Auburn team that finished 6-7. So, yes, Penn State was number four, and they were up on Iowa big. Iowa was a total fraud. That number four ranking was a total fraud. I feel better about this Penn State team right now today than at any point I've felt about Penn State since 2019.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And honestly, I would go back to even before that where I feel really good about this Penn State team. You know, that 2016 that season when they won.
They had Micah.
Oh, yeah. No. They were very
Brown.
Good.
But that team was
even good. With – even in 2016, though, when the year that they won the Big Ten championship, they still didn't start out very hot. And you couldn't have had – you didn't have this type of warm and fuzzy feeling going into to a lot of those games. But speaking of warm, fuzzy feelings, we're going to talk a little bit more about Penn State and what's next, but also what's happening around the country. Even though it was kind of a so-so day around the, not nearly as exciting as the first few weeks of the season, but still an exciting week of college football nonetheless. When we come back on the We Are Podcast and the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Welcome back to the third and final segment of the We Are Podcast, the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Corey, college football's a wild time, but this week, it was pretty tame. There weren't a lot of big upsets to go around, but man, the Spartans of Michigan got thumped by a former Big Ten quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. Penn State fans very much know who Michael Penix Jr. is, and they know how well he does, you know, against two-point conversions and things like that. It still might be a little too soon from 2020. But that and, you know, Miami losing is whatever, but the Michigan State loss, that's a pretty big one early in the season for the Spartans.
Michael Penix Jr. threw for 397 yards on Sparty. Hopefully Mike Yurcich will throw the ball against Sparty this year.
Wait.
Yeah.
Corey, so you mean to tell me that if you throw the ball against Michigan State, good things happen?
They apparently haven't gotten it figured out. So, hey, look, Oregon beat BYU. That was a nice game. I think what's going to happen – I mean, the first couple weeks – oh, how about that App State finish? App State beats A&M. Then they come back and they're about to lose to Troy. They throw a 50-yard Hail Mary at the end. You got to find the video of the announcers going absolutely berserk on that. It's amazing. It's great stuff. But I think
State should be 3-0.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they almost had Carolina in that wacky, crazy fourth quarter finish. So, well, I think the first couple weeks, you know, everybody's feeling each other out. You're feeling out your own team. You're trying to figure out what you could do and all that stuff. As we settle into the season, I generally believe college football kind of settles down and the better teams with more talent and more depth win because players start to get hurt. I think we'll start to see that here a little bit. But, this Saturday, week three Saturday, was pretty tame, all things considered.
Well, there just weren't a lot of good matchups. I mean, obviously still well into non-conference play. You don't really have the big marquee matchup. I mean, Michigan State, Washington was good. Penn State, I mean, this Penn State and Auburn should have been a marquee matchup today, and it was, but ultimately on the scoreboard, it ended up not close.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you this. Okay, so I'm down in Alabama. We're watching this unfold. You're back in PA watching it unfold on TV, and you get to listen to the announcers. You get to hear what they're saying. My understanding is they were really praising Penn State a whole lot as the game went on. What's the impact of this for Penn State? Because, you know, to come down here and look, again, maybe Auburn is really down. We'll see. But what do you think the impact of this is for the way the rest of the country looks at Penn State?
Well, I think it's got to put them on notice, right? Penn State has a running game. Sean Clifford is a good quarterback. And the defense, man, you got to be prepared. And at the same time, it's only week three, and Penn State still isn't anywhere close to, you know, having let loose its entire playbook. I think they're still playing a vanilla offensive scheme by design. I mean, again, they've played a conference game already, you know, so they're still first in the Big Ten, but they haven't gotten to the bulk of that, and we're not going to see it. I mean, they can get away with against Northwestern by not opening up the playbook, nor should they. And now, of course, that you're looking a little bit further down the road. But You know, it's got to put people realize that, hey, maybe Penn State football is back. It's week three. And, you know, they've won some good games. But at the same time, listen, Penn State football, they got a running game. They're good up front. And listen, you can look back and look at this Penn State Auburn game and see, hey, listen, when Penn State played them, they were 2-0. Now they might not end up, they might not have, you know, more than 8 wins this year. And that remains to be seen. But at the time of the game, this was the situation. Penn State was number 22 or 23 ranked team in the country. And they beat them handedly as a 2-0 team.
Yeah, I'm looking, and it'll be curious to see. By the time people listen to this, a lot of people know the answer already. Polls come out in the middle of the afternoon Sunday. Penn State's 22, one poll, 23 the other. Typically, if you're voting and a team wins, I think voters get lazy. I think voters will basically just keep people in the same spot they had the week before as long as they win, okay? However, if there are voters out there that really watch this game and you see the score, I could see Penn State going from 22-23 up to 14-15 if voters really dissect how badly Penn State beat Auburn, if they might jump Penn State over 4 or 5 teams that might have won already on Saturday, but they were much more impressed by Penn State.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you expect BYU to drop. They were the number 12 team. They lost. Wake Forest struggled with Liberty. Arkansas struggled with the Fighting Bobby Petrinos. With Missouri State, they're an FCS team. Arkansas is the number 10 team in the country. You know, Michigan State lost by 11 to Washington. Florida struggled with South Florida. The Pitt Panthers, they beat Directional Michigan. They beat Western Michigan today. And, you know, and everything else is kind of here and just kind of, it's what you expect. But for the level of competition, I would expect them to bust into the top 20.
I'm going
to
say 16.
And even closer, yeah, I think they're going to be closer to 15 than they are closer to 20.
Yeah, I'm going to say 16. If they're higher than that, hey, that they probably should be. But I'm gonna guess they'll probably move up, you know, they're at least 6 spots to in one of the polls to number 16. And look, I hear this all, ratings don't matter, rankings don't matter to you, play Ohio State, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Fans love it. You can say you can say it don't matter all you want. You're lying to yourself because fans enjoy those kinds of things, or else we wouldn't have them.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, Northwestern lost to Southern Illinois today. So there's that. The Syracuse Orange took down Purdue in a crazy finish.
Oh my gosh. Aiden O'Connell had maybe one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see. He throws the ball right to a lineman for a pick six. That thing was.
But yeah, I mean, listen, it's very unfortunate that Penn State doesn't play on the west side of the division.
Yeah.
Cause that side is awful.
Well, as we close this down, cause we only have a couple minutes left here, I would say that, you know, the divisions are going to go away in the Big Ten in 2024 once USC and UCLA join. But that's 2024. So they're going away in the ACC next year and some other conferences. But the Big Ten is going to keep them for one more year. But, man, oh, man, the disparity between the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West is as large as it's ever been.
Yeah, and it's bad. Like, it is really bad this year. And it'll be interesting to see how kind of the rest of the year plays out. But again, we're going into week four. And first of all, well, speaking of the Big Ten West, Iowa has now been in more weather delays than they've scored offensive touchdowns. That is Iowa football in a nutshell. But you have to feel really good about Penn State. Again, you can't feel too good, because they've been in this position before and seen the wheels fall apart. So I think you got to come out and you got to punch Central Michigan right in the face to start. I think they'll start slow. It'll be a noon game. But come out, punch them in the mouth, score, get Aller in early, treat it like the Ohio game, keep Sean Clifford healthy, and then get into Big Ten play and see what you got. And they start out very nicely in Big Ten play. Obviously, they've got Northwestern, which is good for them. Then, you know, then they have the bye week, which is great.
Then a big, they got a bye before the Big House. I mean,
yeah. And then you go to the Big House October 15th, and that's the next test. I think, you know, when you look at it, you look at the schedule, that's the first big test the rest of the year. And then they start their, then they've got Minnesota. Minnesota's an undefeated team in the Big Ten. Big Ten West.
Let me mention this, Jared. And again, there's a lot of season to go. Lots of things could happen. I would say at this stage right now, 10-2 is certain. Anything less than 10-2 right now would probably be disappointing. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? As we've said many times, 10-2 will be good enough to get to a college football playoff once we get to 12. And that's going to come in a few years. So I'll just mention that. Penn State would have made it 16, 17, 18, 19. And if they go 10-2 this year, you know, you can always say if there were a 12-team playoff, they would. So, I mean, this is all just boding well for what Penn State football hopes to be over the next few years. And, again, once we get to that 12-team playoff, then sure, Penn State should be in that, as we've said for a long time, 5 out of every 10 years.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how the rest of this plays out. But right now, heading into Central Michigan week, have to be very thrilled with the way the Penn State's played. They're 3-0, and I'd expect to win this week. But it's college football. Anything can happen. But, yeah.
Hey, I've covered college football for 17 years. My favorite road trip ever was this one. I kid you not. Outside of a bowl game, because we've been to the Rose Bowl. Jared's been there. I loved Alabama in 2010. That was probably my favorite trip. This was my favorite trip ever. I actually drove here with some friends, 13 hours. And as terrible as that sounds, it actually wasn't. But everybody at Auburn was great. This was a tremendous place to visit. Parking was awesome. Got in and out. Everyone was kind. I kid you not, in all of my 17 years of doing this, this is my favorite road trip that I've taken.
That's good. Listen, road trips are always the best on the beat, no matter what happens. So it's always good to be around your colleagues and around new places and new people. But, again, Penn State is 3-0. They take down Auburn in a big, dominant way. And now it's time for Central Michigan, and we'll have you covered following the Central Michigan game next week, where we'll be able to record a lot sooner than we did tonight, and maybe even before midnight. But for Corey Geiger, this has been Jared Prugar. Thank you, as always, for listening to the We Are Podcast, the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network.